I can tell this is going to be a really, really good show. We're all ready. We're all on the same page.
All on the very same page.
We've got all our shit together.
Most definitely.
Looks like you guys have got your shit together, too.
Yeah.
You've opened up a circle. You're ready to dance. The drummer is waiting for my signal to start the next song. Everything is going smoothly.
Smooth as can be.
Thanks for the real big fish. This song's called Everything Sucks.
What's up, Houdat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and I'm not drunk. But I think Jason's got a drink, so somebody on the show is going to have a number in this celebratory Shitlanta Falcons victory for the Saints episodes. So now that we know that they have it in them, what are our expectations for the rest of the season? Will everyone finally cut Peyton some slack? Maybe he actually knows what he's been doing all along. This team of youngsters delivered the greatest of goods on Thursday night and sent Shitlanta back home with their first loss of the season, reminding them that no matter how good they are and how bad we are, they'll always be Sean Payton's bitch. All four Falcons fans were sent home crying, and we're all hopeful that this was one of the turning points that helps define a season and perhaps this new era of Saints football. So put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all time, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I don't have a number. I'm actually starting to come down with a little something, but I did feel a little naked here, so I opened up one of those Not Your Father's root beers.
Ah, you like those?
Pretty tasty.
A little sweet.
Oh, I mean very, very sweet. You can't drink more than two or three at a time.
Yeah, a little bit of How's Your Father's root beer.
right. So, got to, you know, just kind of, I mean, man, so many
shows. That's actually a good thing to drink if you are getting a cold, because it's not like drinking.
At least there's some flavor behind it. It's not just beer. Because you know how, like, you're sick, stuff tastes different.
Mm-hmm.
So, this still tastes like root beer.
There you go. Damon, welcome to the show. Any number to report?
Thank you. No.
All right. With that, I don't know if I laid it on a little thick. Maybe I took this victory a little too far into raising expectations, but let's get into game recap. So the Saints beat the Falcons.
Yes.
21, right?
I tell you what, I was nervous at the game. It's kind of maybe from the dome.
Sure.
Right when the game started, and Jason, you tell me in yourself, there were a lot of empty seats in the stadium.
Yeah, that's one thing I noticed.
There were lots of empty seats. I mean, more than I've seen since the Hazard era. And I said, oh my goodness, have people jump ship. But as usual with New Orleans, we never get anywhere on time. Bob, what, Jason, what did you think about midway through the first quarter? All seats were full.
Oh, I wouldn't say all of them were full, but a lot of the open spots had filled up.
Right.
That's because the game's during the week and people have to rearrange, stuff around to get down there.
Right.
Still pockets, some spaces of empty seats I noticed throughout the game. But not nearly as many as
No, at the start of the game, it was just insane how many people were missing. But I didn't notice the pockets once the game got started. And one of the things I don't think we've talked about it. If you're in the game, our new player introduction. Have we talked about that on the show?
No, I don't think so.
Now, because we have the new lights in the dome, they can actually turn the lights off and they'll come back on. Just like they do at your house.
You know what? I noticed when we were at the game and the lights went out and I turned, I was like, do they always turn off the lights like that?
They've been turning them off a bit lately. The game that last Falcons game last year that I went to, they turned them off.
I don't think so yet, because look.
I do, because it was my kid's first game, I remember.
Okay, well, all right. Maybe they changed them then. I thought they changed those lights this offseason. Because that's what happened with the Super Bowl. When the lights went off, whatever they were before, I don't know what it, but the lights had to warm up for 30 minutes to come back on.
After the, that was the Super Bowl, and
that was
the
right.
After that, they
right.
switched them recently.
I thought it was this offseason. It could have been. It could have been last year. It could have been.
Maybe they did some and finished it this offseason. Because I remember, I do remember them saying something about it this offseason. I thought.
Right. Correct. That's why this is the first I've noticed. But anyway, it's pretty cool. You know, they turn all the lights off in the dome, and then they. You know, they have some pyrotechnics as our players run through the thing. So anyway, I mean, it's definitely something for the 25 years I've been going or whatever. It's definitely something, you know, new and different, kind of like they do in the arena with the Pelican. But so that's definitely something new. Again, and Jason, I know we talked about this, pyrotechnics in the Superdome and the smoke it lifts. Does that bother y'all particularly because it seems to rise?
It didn't bother, like it didn't obstruct my vision, but I did look out and you could see the smoke like on the other corner of the terrace from where we are, which is closer to where all that's going on.
Okay.
And you could really see it over there, but where we are, it really wasn't.
That's right. That's right. You're on the other side of where the Saints are. That's right.
Yeah.
But anyway, just something new and different. I thought we haven't talked about, like I said, I mean, it's pretty cool though. You know, get the fans hyped.
Well, and the pyrotechnics that they use, though, did they do fireworks or did they do the gas?
No, it's just the gas shoot the...
Yeah, so you're not getting a lot of smoke from that anyway.
It was more than you would think.
Okay. Yeah. You get a good amount of smoke, trust me. When you're sitting in the stadium, you can see the haze. Like, and I think we mentioned a couple weeks ago, I wish they'd just stop doing
right.
indoor fireworks. I think we talked about it when the Rams caught their stadium on fire.
Right.
No fire around plastic indoors. Okay?
When you say it like that, too, it sounds like the bitches bunch of incompetent boobs. Well, the Rams set their stadium on fire.
I think I'm pretty close there.
All right, so let's get into the game itself.
The game, come on. I mean, we have to talk. I mean,
you want to go right, like, come right out talking about the blocked punt?
Well, we'll start with first drive, drove right down there, stuck it in the end zone. Pumped everybody up. Atlanta went, I think, pretty sure they went 3-and-out, if not much more than that. Then what? Then we went 3-and-out, and then they got the ball again? Or was it their first possession?
They didn't go 3-and-out. They did, I think they got a first down, and then
anyway, they
got like first down, and then they went 3. So they went like 5 or 6-and-out.
Right. But was it their second drive that the block punt?
Wait, did they not fumble on? Was it, I thought they drove down
the drive.
They drove down the field, and then you know it was looking like for a while the receivers were open. We were letting guys run free for a while, and then he fumbled and killed the drive. Was that not when that happened?
Yes, it was. That was Matt Ryan's first fumble.
Right. And right. That if you watch,
he also recovered his own fumble on that.
Right. One. Right. But if you that wasn't the fourth down stop, was it?
No, that was probably much later.
Yes, okay. It was.
It's 4th and 1 on Orleans 34. Matt Ryan fumbles.
Right.
At New Orleans 39 and recovers at the New Orleans 39.
And if you watch it, you know, I come back home and I DVR it. It was actually his fullback that knocked it out of his hands.
No.
Or he hit the fullback, you know, whoever you want to blame.
Yeah, he fucks up the handoff and the Saints get the ball. So, yeah, their first drive, they go for it on 4th down.
And we stop them.
And we stop them.
Which is so great. Such a big
right.
play. And Matty shat his pants again.
Right. Yep. But again, that gets the crowd into it. Okay, we stopped you on 4th down. So the crowd's getting into it.
But then we go 3-and-out. Did that bother anybody? That we came back 3-and-out? And then they go 3-and-out with the ball.
Well, it didn't make me excited. I mean, I guess
right, right.
I'll tell you that. I mean, I wasn't happy about it. but then they get the ball back. And I mean, what they just hated this. I mean, if you're an Atlanta fan,
it's what this, they do.
And this is like being a race. This is like
Atlanta
a race.
Goes punt, we block and score a touchdown.
As is, of course, the tradition.
If you're an Atlanta fan, trust me, for the last 5 years, or, you know, I mean, 10 years, you know, since the 2006 reopening, That play is played everywhere. They have to be so sick and tired of seeing that. And then to have it happen again on national TV.
With Gleason in the building.
With Gleason in the building. Oh, we got to talk about his tweets, too.
Oh, yeah, that's coming up. Don't worry.
I mean, if you're an Atlanta fan, I mean, that's... I can't even think of a scenario as a Saints fan, you know, like, really, again, really. I mean, are you fucking kidding me?
The guy who blocked it is from here and was in the stadium to see Gleason's...
Yeah.
Right. Like Marty, and we all remember his dad.
We were talking about him the last couple episodes, yeah.
It was
at that point where I think a lot of people in the Dome and watching at home were all like, yeah, we're going to win this game.
Yes, 100%. I agree. I mean, that was me. After that happened.
Has been foretold.
I'm telling you, and you're going to ask Doug, I swear to God, so they're about to punt, and I tell Doug, I said, man, how nice would a block punt be here? I mean, I swear to God, I said that. And then they block, and I'm like, holy shit, I can't believe they really did that. And I said, look, we're not losing this game now. I said, we're not going to lose this game.
Was the crowd noise?
Oh.
Rivaling the Gleason one?
Well, no. No.
No. Okay. No.
Nothing will ever, as long as I live, I don't think anything will ever top the loudness of that block.
Was it? I mean, it was pretty insane, though.
I tell you what it made me feel like, or reminded me of, and Jason, you can back this up. It made me feel like the Saints of, you know, before the 2012 season. You know, that it brought that feeling in the Dome back that we have had before we went on
our six-game
losing streak. Right.
Right. The
crowd
confidence
is in there.
Yeah.
In it.
The swagger.
The swagger from the crowd was there. There were several. And again, I love this. Several spontaneous chants of the Who Dat chant.
I heard them in the fourth quarter, I think.
Yeah, I mean, that's what makes me go to the fucking game. Just that, I just love doing that, man. And yeah, the crowd was in it, and it had to be the loudest that the Dome has been in a couple of years.
And really, they, you know, their last touchdown was a garbage touchdown too.
Right. I was going to
bring
that up.
So we slayed them.
Right. Just like I didn't give us credit last week against that Philadelphia.
Right.
Atlanta doesn't get any credit for that last fucking, you know. It wasn't a 10-point game, fellas. It was a 13-point. It was an ass-whipping. Mm-hmm. They got their ass whipped.
It was a 17-point game. I mean, yeah.
Right. But, I mean, it was 31-21 final. But that last 7 points, only people that made happy were the people who had the over.
So, let's talk about some individual efforts here. Let's start with Ben Watson. Career game. A lot of Jimmy Who's coming out there.
Well, and not only that, like, he had a career game. He should have had at least another big catch, if not a touchdown, at the end of the first half.
Right before Drew. Oh, my God.
Right. I mean, he was open going across. If Breeze just hits him,
he
might take it into the corner of the end zone.
I really think he does.
Yeah.
Drew, there was a little I don't know what he thought. But, yeah, that pass was off. That was on Drew. But, yeah, he could have had another long touchdown pass, I believe, right before the half.
And you guys, because you were leaving the Dome, you didn't hear Drew Brees' post-game interview on
No, I did not.
On CBS. The girl was interviewing him, and they talked about Ben Watson. And, man, it was almost like Drew was sending a message to Jimmy Graham, because he was just basically saying, you know, Ben Watson is probably one of the best teammates I've ever had. He's such an unselfish player. He's such a great guy. He works harder than anybody. I mean, just laying on, like, all saying, like, he's the perfect teammate, you know, and talking about how he's great, all about the team. And you can't help but think you gotta compare it to Jimmy Graham, because here's your tight end, and he's found his new tight end favorite target kind of thing. And he's saying all the things that are not Jimmy Graham.
But anything you read about Watson, I mean, I've heard the same thing. This guy is out doing charity work all the time, and appearances, really.
He's kind of a preacher.
Right. So. I mean, he really seemed like, I mean, just not even Breeze's praises before that. Mm-hmm. He seemed every bit the genuine person that Drew Brees isn't. But anyway.
Something too, it's nice to finally get him involved in the offense, because during training camp, it was like, man, Watson looks like one of the best guys out here. Mm-hmm. And he really hasn't done that much.
Didn't Josh Hill miss a touchdown pass too?
Don't know.
If not a touchdown, then a critical first down. There was a critical pass that Josh Hill just bleh.
Yeah.
No. It's okay. Let's not focus on all the negatives here. We destroyed the balance.
No, I know. But it's just...
And look, speaking of the positive, and folks, this is what... we're playing with backups on the offensive line, and then Pete goes down. And basically they grab someone from the stands almost.
Yeah.
I mean, and we still, the offensive line still did a good job. I think personally, that's why they were, I think, rolling Drew out a little more to, you know,
help with
stop that pressure, you know. If look, injury is a part of the game, and our offensive line is a freaking walking.
It's shambles. Yeah, it looks like Pete's gonna miss at least 4 weeks.
Right. So
which stinks, because I mean, it seemed like he was playing pretty good.
It did, yo. If you go back and watch the highlights, he was eating his guy up. He was, and it was only the first drive. He went out in the first drive. I'm surprised that Jari Evans played.
Yeah, I thought they'd with the short week and his age.
Well, didn't he just have arthroscopic surgery a few weeks ago?
Yeah.
So I mean, I'm just surprised that he was back. Thank goodness, though. I mean,
yeah,
times maybe.
But Zach Strieff didn't screw up too much that I can recall. Maybe y'all.
I mean, he was his kind of usual self. Just the good thing, you know, Breeze rolled out to escape a lot of that.
Right.
It was good game planning on the Saints' part to realize, hey, our offensive line's a sieve. Let's do something to not let them just stand there and get crushed.
No, and
so that was a good thing they did.
Willie Snead, leading wide receiver. I mean, obviously Watson's the leading receiver. Period.
Right.
But Willie Snead among the receivers, 4 catches, 55 yards. Breeze, 30 for 39. I mean, again, by the time everybody reads or listens to the show, these are not new stats, but it's worth mentioning. I mean, we talk about the offensive line, him rolling out. He only missed 9 passes whole night.
I'm telling you, Breeze has another 3 years in him easily at a very high
level. As long as his health holds out and his line is there, absolutely.
And his line is there. Again, you know, he's getting...
If his line was there right now, he would be no different than he was in...
No, and I honestly believe we'd have at the least a 500 record, if not a winning record, if he'd have been healthy. So that Tampa game where he got hurt.
Oh, yeah. That cost us the game.
They really should have pulled him that game. They really should have pulled him that game. And I think we could have beat Carolina on the road if Drew would have been healthy. Because we were right in into the last play, and there was you all watched it replay, you know. I'm sorry, I'm going backwards. But Marcus Colston was open in the end zone, and I think that's what Drew would have went to. But anyway, I love Drew on the field, and when he's healthy, guys, we're as good as any team out there offensively when Drew Brees is healthy on that field.
Absolutely. Now let's switch to defense and talk about
that. Well, hold on. Let's go.
Let's give some props.
Offensive side the ball, not a lot of rushing yards, you know, not a lot of holes. Ingram did get the 2 touchdowns by the goal line,
and
which was nice, especially the first one where and third effort getting in there.
Loved it. Who sitting in the stadium, I told my buddy Doug, I said, man, that reminds me of a Deuce run. Like you said, that second and third effort.
He got hit at like the 2, and he kept going.
Right, there was a linebacker that was on his knees, and Ingram just kept on plowing until he got into that end zone. That showed you
angry Ingram
that wanted to win, and that was giving their all. It really did. Love that play.
Yeah,
against Spiller team more often.
Yeah, against Spiller, not a lot of touches either. So still can't find a way to get him in there. But again, they tried to run. They had 32 carries. They just couldn't. You know, there were no holes to run through whatsoever.
Well, again, our offensive line.
Is
shit. Okay, you can. Like we just said with the quarterback, you can roll them out and kind of work with a shit offensive line. But with the running game, if you can't block, you're really fucked. You know, I mean, they have nothing. I don't know what you can do to hide a shitty offensive line on the running
game. Yeah, the fact that Kyrie couldn't get at least one kind of big, you know, 15, 20-yard run proves that, illustrates that. I mean, Kyrie's good for at least one of those a game. Kyrie!
He had a 10-yard run, and Ingram had an 11-yard run. Those are the two longest runs of the night.
Yep. All right, now you want to go to defense?
Sure.
Let's talk about Dalvin Breaux.
Did a pretty good job on Julio, that's for sure.
Pretty good. Held that motherfucker to two catches.
I mean, that was, look, oh, that was it?
Well, he had,
well, when he was going against Breaux.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Right, he finished with six catches and 93 yards. That's what kept him out the end zone. And, man, Breaux's legit.
Breaux is legit.
He is. And something else,
you
too.
You can noticeably see his improvement from week to week. Because you remember, I mean, how many penalties? He had the pass interference penalties. He was playing. Yeah. Press. He went, and I'm taking a cue off of, and I can't remember whose blog it was. It may be, I can't remember, I'm sorry. But they said he went from internet meme to hero. You remember the meme on the internet where
right, he was lost. He lost
to hero.
He's like, oh, did they replace those lights up there?
I see what you did there.
So, yeah, and look, the Saints as a team only had, what, three penalties in the game?
Yes. Oh, yes.
You know, that's a huge, huge improvement over what they've been doing.
Kind of makes a difference, don't it?
Big difference. You know, not a lot of penalties and no turnovers.
No turnovers.
No. Sean Payton, I forget if this game made him 20. I think it made him 28.
I think it's like 29-0.
28. I thought it was 28. No, it could be 29 now.
He's undefeated.
Undefeated when the Saints have zero turnovers. Undefeated. I mean, it seems like a small favor to add the offense. Just don't turn the ball over and we win.
That's it.
I mean, how hard is that? You know.
Well, and you know, there was like one or two plays I noticed that Drew did the smarter thing and kind of throw the ball away instead of trying to force it.
Yep. God bless him. That is one of, you know, a very small, you know, number of bad things that he does do when he thinks he can make every throw.
And that's probably because it has worked more often than not. We just remember
exactly.
The time it doesn't.
Sure, sure.
All right, talk about Kikaha. Another guy that you see some measured improvement.
Kikaha, Anthony, I mean, it's early to say, but I feel this draft, we really hit on some stuff. And Kikaha is definitely a bright spot. I mean, they're talking about him, you know, defensive rookie of the year. And I know, again, it's still early, but.
But he's definitely in the top three or four right now.
Yeah. Yeah. That is.
Got another sack. Did he get another sack?
Yes, he did.
Yes,
and
he did.
Yeah. And a forced fumble.
I mean, look, he brings it, man.
Look up here. Hey, you, look. Ha, up here. Whoop. Ha, ha. Go. Hey, yo, guys.
High motor. I mean, When you think of high motor, if you watch him on the field, if you're able to isolate on him, again, he's never not moving forward, trying to get after that ball. You know, be it if it's in the quarterback's hands or they're running the ball, just his effort alone makes him.
In some ways, does he remind you of Vaccaro's rookie year? You remember how Vaccaro was?
Yeah.
You saw 32 on every play in his rookie year.
Yeah.
And you kind of feel like you're seeing Kikaha, the hair, all over the field.
No, you're right. You do. And it's so nice to see on defense. To actually have linebackers. It's such a joy to have linebackers.
Speaking of linebackers, Ellerby had a fantastic game.
Yeah.
Right?
Fantastic game. Yeah, I mean.
But did he get hurt again?
He said it wasn't serious.
Okay, but they did. He did lay down and they brought him off the field.
Right? Yeah. But it wasn't serious. So
hopefully he plays next week.
Yeah, we're gonna need him.
Well, we got a good 10 days off, so hopefully we can get a little healthy for some guys.
Well, speaking of injuries, Keenan Lewis. What the hell, man?
Well, look, it's a hip injury. Those things are no small thing. Those are serious,
especially when you play in his position.
One thing I could tell. Not that he was, you know, obviously he wasn't in on every play, but even when he was in, you could see him a little gimpy, and it was like, oh shit.
Yeah, he came out early though, didn't he?
Yeah.
So at least the defense can prove that it can play. I mean, again, you going up against Atlanta's offense. I don't want to give them credit, but that's as good an offense as you're going to go up against this year.
So far,
on paper.
But let me give credit to Doug here. He pointed out, and he said, "This Atlanta, this is the team we were built to play.
Mm-hmm.
Big wide receivers, big tall wide receivers. Jones, Roddy White, you know."
And even Hankerson's pretty tall.
Right. This is what we were built. This is what we built for, to stop these guys. You have to win, your division game, and not some kind of spread offense type. That's not what we're built to play.
Like the Eagles.
Like the Eagles. You go back and again take the Carolina game. We were in that game. They didn't destroy us.
Mm-hmm.
Tampa Bay game. We lose that because of Breeze's injury.
Mm-hmm.
Turnovers. We had two turnovers because Breeze couldn't get the ball
down. Arizona, we were into the last play.
Arizona, we were in there, and they're a good team, first game on the road, So, but this Atlanta, this is the team that we're built, built to play. That's what we wanted. Big wide receivers. Big, tall cornerbacks.
Yeah.
So that's what Doug was saying. That's why we had success against them. And I have to agree.
So, the news doesn't sound too good for Keenan. I mean, he may miss next week. He may try to play next week's game, but he's not going to be healthy, even if at all this season, unless he shuts it down for a few weeks.
And that's what we need to do. That's what we need to do.
That's the only way he's going to be right.
Shut him down. I don't like rushing the players back until they're 100%. And I know it's football and you have to.
Especially not this year right
now. Nobody. Right.
It's not necessary.
Right. It's not like we're. Although we're only a game and a half out of the last wild card spot.
I know, but.
But
the defense
showed that they could play without him. I mean, it'd be easier with him, yeah. But they won without him.
But I mean, him at 75%, I mean, is he really.
Right.
Is he going to be a liability back there?
Well, you get no. I mean, yeah, he would be probably. Because if you play him at, it's not necessarily him at 75% as much as it is if you further his injury and then you Greer him. And by that I mean you lose him forever.
Right.
Hopefully. And you can't afford. We can't afford to have that happen again. I mean, Jabari Greer.
We all know how important he was to our defense.
Right. That's plain and simple.
He was our defense.
But Cam Jordan finally woke up, had a big game. Three yep. sacks, forced fumble, fumble recovery.
Love that. I love that. I'll wait till.
Especially on the last.
That last one, and again, I saw it in the dome, and I kept replaying it when I came home and watched on DVR. I mean, so he beat the guy. Then he's slapping at the ball.
Yeah.
He's slapping at it, like Matt Ryan, like, ooh, get away. Ooh, get away. So he slapped it. He slapped the ball out. Then he pushes Matt Ryan.
Falls on his ass.
But he pushes him, lifts him off of the air. Off the ground. I mean, it's like a rag doll. He just pushes him. Matt Ryan goes flying back like a bitch. And, get the fumble recovery, game over. We're not even worrying about y'all trying to score. That was just, he manhandled him,
It was just poetic.
He manhandled him.
I'm watching that replay right now, too.
I love how he just had, basically he beat, so I beat my guy so bad, I just have time to poke at the ball, okay? I mean I'm not even worried about my guy. I'm just poking at the ball, until I'm going to knock it out of your hand. That's just a smackdown.
He did push him. I'll just watch the replay.
At the first, huh?
I just watched the replay. He totally just got the ball out and then just get the fuck out of my way.
Right.
And Ryan, he did fly like a bitch. And then he's sitting on his ass and throws his arms up what the fuck?
Right. Oh, he hit me. Give me a flag. I know he's a little fucking bitch. Right. I like that part. Right. He's on the ground. All
arms up. I didn't know if he was looking at the ref looking for a call or if he was just looking at his teammates and his coaches would be like, oh, there's nothing we could do.
Whatever. It was a bitch move. He just throws his hands up in the air. He wants a flag. But
a flag for what? You dropped the ball.
Right. But Jordan did nothing but push him. I mean, he just pushed.
And lo and behold, who's there to help cover it up? Kikaha. That dude is everywhere. He's like the Seidler from Seinfeld.
But it was that game was so nice. Now, I did something that I haven't done in a while. I like to go to Atlanta. If you want a funny read.
Oh, yeah.
If you want a funny read, Saints fans, go to Atlanta's message board. I don't know. It's isuckcock.com or something like that. It's on there. You can find it on AtlantaFalcon.com. They have a message board. And they have, and a lot of message boards do this, they have, you know, a game day thread. So, and it's 122 pages long, and I read them all.
Oh, jeez.
Okay? Because it's just so much fun. I did it after, the most fun ever was our Super Bowl victory. That was just the most fun ever. This was the second best one. And before the game, let's stomp these swamp people and Katrina references and, oh, we're the better team. Their fans are the most delusional people. They really are. Atlanta has the most delusional fans, only a close second to Dallas. I mean, Dallas is a close second. But anyway, so before, you know, the game starts, you can read them all. And, oh, we're going to beat these teams. We'll whip their ass. They suck. We're such a good team. Da-da-da. And then it just slowly deteriorates to, what the fuck? We suck. And again, when we block the field goal, they just get, not again. Oh, no. Not again on national TV. And then everything is, oh, Katrina refs. You know, that's their big fucking.
It's amazing how much the Katrina references come out.
Oh, God, right.
I will say, the referee towards the latter part of the game, it did look like he was kind of enjoying making the crowd happy. Because there was one play where I think it was our ball. We were on the goal line, and we were running out of downs, and we ended up getting a first down from something they did. And when he went and did, like, the first down, he's like, blah, 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 blah. And he almost kind of smiled and, like, did, like, a little fancy, like, and a first down! It was like he was playing to the crowd. I don't know. That's funny. He was enjoying it. Well, the crowd was loving the calls, you know.
Right. Well, but no, I mean, but the Atlanta fan, they totally went ape shit on their, you know, fuck Quinn Suggs. That's their coach. Their coach had made a statement, and I only know this by going on their message board, had made a statement during the week that this was just another game when he was asked about the rivalry.
See, that's the difference. He took it as another game. Sean Payton took it as this is
Atlanta, and they my bitch. They my bitch. Mike Smith was my bitch. You're my bitch. You always going to be my bitch. We're going to beat Atlanta. I mean,
Arthur
right,
Blank's my bitch.
Right, all right. Right.
Well, I don't know if any of our listeners are really good at interneting or anything like that, but I would love it if somebody would buy the URL thesaintsbitch.com and redirect it to the Falcons website. I don't know if that's possible, but would it be if we just promoted thesaintsbitch.com?
That would be
and crazy. It just went to their website.
Well, there was an article I read. I don't know if y'all saw it, and it said that Sean Payton was named in a paternity suit this week.
Oh,
did y'all read that?
No.
And so that's the headline: Sean Payton named a paternity suit. So you click on it, and it looks like a real news story, and then it goes to that basically that he's Atlanta's daddy. it's a joke, obviously, you know. And it goes to he's Atlanta's daddy. But watching their fans shit themselves, watching, you know, knowing that the Saints, and look, this happened also, if y'all remember, in 2012 when Sean Payton was rightfully suspended. Atlanta was also undefeated and had come in here at a god awful, I think 7-0. And we beat them in the Superdome to end their undefeated streak. So this is the second time. It's the second time that they've had a significant undefeated streak, and we beat them, which is wonderful. Their fans, again, they're just so delusional. We have owned them over the last 10 years, and it is great. Their team is still a piece of shit. Their team still sucks. You know what? They're 5-0. They were down.
5-1 now.
They're 5-1. They were down in the fourth quarter. In five of the six games, they right. finally lost one. Four of them, they came back and won. They're not a their offense. Yes, has done.
They're really, if you think about it, they're really the opposite of us while being the same as us, because they just happened to be on the right side of all their close games, and we were on the wrong side of all our close games.
I mean, correct. Yeah, I mean, you're
correct. We could easily be. I mean, the only game that we earned the loss, like you illustrated Eagles. Earlier, is the Eagles game.
Right.
We should be 5-1.
Right. Or 4-2. I mean, whatever. Somewhere.
Something well, better I mean, than where we're at now.
Right. Right. I mean, if the Saints were 4-2, like you said, yeah. I mean, could we have been? Yes, and not. It's not that big of a stretch.
All right. I am going to throw in before we move out of the game recap. Damon, I requested a rant from you. I don't know if you have one in you, but leading up to the game and how beautiful that the rumors have stopped. But leading up to the game, a lot of people, especially on Twitter, were talking about not just whether Peyton would leave, but that he should leave.
Well,
and you kind of got on it a little bit where it's you at least turned me, and I'd like to speak for Jason and Jason around, as you know, we entered last week's show saying maybe he should, maybe his time's run out, but you've successfully converted me back to saying no, there's no coach I would rather other than him. And he's turning, I mean, this is that rebuilding year. He's actually taken all the steps that you need to take to create a new team,
keep it going, right, to keep it right. going to get back up. You know, right. Like you got to bottom out a little
years
bit.
With Breeze, at least, and then after that, you better have a good team to carry whatever new quarterback. Well, the best time to do that is now, while you have 2 years to develop them, right?
Well, correct. And you look at if you take 2006, which was a rebuilding year, obviously after coming back from 2005, and then you take 2015. The main difference in 2006, what he did, is he brought in a lot of veteran leadership. And not really a lot of rookies, okay? And now we hit on that draft that was incredible.
But that's because he had talent on the team to work with.
Well, correct. Hasn't had talent on the team. Has its team were not talentless. But Peyton brought in veteran leadership. Now what we have this year, well, we've talked about it ungodly amount of times, 25 new faces that are making their NFL debuts, you know. These are kids, these are rookies, these are young men who have to get seasoning in the NFL. And as we go on,
to you by Tony Sashrys.
And as we go on each week, I think we can all agree that we're seeing the defense get a little bit better. Okay, I don't, you know, we're still giving up a lot of yards and stuff, but the defense is getting better. There are less mistakes. I mean, again, you said three penalties the entire game against Atlanta. That's come with a little maturity and getting that more veteran experience for these players. So you got to clean up the little things. Like you said, bro, he's no longer looking at the lights to seeing if they change them. You know, he's right there. So, no, we are rebuilding. And me personally, after this game, I think we're going to see several more going forward throughout the year. Of a team that we can really have high expectations for going into next year. God forbid the injury bug. I mean, and we had a freaking offensive line. You know, it's terrible. But we can – I can easily see us this year, again, being anywhere from a 7-9, 8-8, possibly 6, possibly, you know,
10.
Between
6 and 10 wins, right?
Yeah, somewhere between 6 and 10 wins.
All right. So, I want you to address the people who are Peyton and saying that Peyton's washed up and Peyton's done.
Well, again, those are the bandwagon fans that all they watch is, you know, fucking Bleacher Report or blogs or some kind of bullshit like that. Again, you know, I can't. It's not real football people who sit here and try to understand what's going on. You know, if you want me to get a rant and hollering and screaming at them, I can't. They don't deserve it. These are just people who don't understand football. Okay, they're bandwagon fans. All champions, all winners get that. It happens to the Patriots, the Cowboys, the Saints. You know, Tampa when they won a decade ago. And that's all they are. They want a quick fix. Get rid of Peyton. Blow it up. Blow it up and do the fucking what? Again, who are you going to get? Les Miles? I love Les Miles at LSU. He would make a shit college, pro coach. You know, same thing with Nick Saban. Who the fuck are you going to bring in that's going to do more than what Sean Payton does? Okay? Because besides Bill Belichick, who is in, what they have done is insane over the last 15 years during free agency. They are insane in New England, what they have accomplished. You're not going to get what you bring in, you roll in the dice on. You might get another Haslett. You might get another Ditka. You know, you might get a Mike Smith, who had a bunch of the wins at Atlanta, but so the fuck what? You got your one playoff win. Ooh, whoopee. You know, Sean Payton is a Super Bowl champion. Sean Payton has won multiple playoff games. Again, you know, so there is no one better than Sean Payton out there. There is no one that's going to come in and do what Sean can do with it. He built this team. Let him alone, and we will get back to our winning ways where people fear us again.
Like, any of these people know better than him.
Right.
They have no... It's just foolish. And I know, look, we fell into a little bit of the trap talking about, you know, what's wrong.
But we didn't definitely say he should go. We said maybe it's time. Maybe, you know, it looks like it might be, but... It's you know, and part
for
of
me
the
it was team. Always a question of passion, like did
of
he
his have, of his desire. Sorry, does he want to be desire. Here?
Right. Well, what no, I heard
not
that
whether he's a good coach.
I don't know. I'm not sure. I heard that after the loss. I didn't hear the press conference, but I heard those statements after the Philadelphia loss. Oh, he doesn't have the passion.
Right.
I don't know what makes you think he doesn't have the fucking passion. Okay, I'm not sure.
For me, it was. It was eerily reminiscent of right around the time Jim Moore left, right around the time Mike Ditka left. A lot of coaches right before they leave have those press conference where they just are like, I don't know. I just don't know anymore. Where early Peyton would go into these press conference and maybe we were mistaking it for that lack of passion. And what it really was like, these guys, you know, in the early years, Peyton expected more. This is he's getting what he expects from his team right now, and he can't really come out and say that. Like, well, you know, yeah, I never expected these motherfuckers to play so.
Right.
Of course we're gonna lose. They're fucking 25 new kids on the team. The fuck you want? A Super Bowl champion?
Correct. And I also think Sean Payton, his attitude with the media. I know he doesn't. He's not gonna holler at them. Or have that banter that Bill Parcells always had with the media, where, you know, Parcells would insult him. I think he'd come to an understanding the media is a part of my job, and I have to stand up here for 5-10 minutes and answer their stupid fucking questions.
Right.
I'm not going to let these idiots get to me.
Right.
I know what's going on. Now, again, that is something I criticized. I think we all did, but I definitely criticized him for with, like, the Drew Brees injury and stuff. You know, I do not like the not knowing
anything.
What's going on, you know, right? All right, knowing nothing.
As a podcaster, I kind of like to know a few things.
You know, but I understand his where he's coming from, and I have to trust in the man who's won more games than he's lost. I don't know the exact number, by a pretty good amount, and who's won a championship and who built a championship team.
Mm-hmm.
Who built a championship team. Again, why we are where we are is what
changed the culture of an organization.
Thank you.
I mean, that's different.
Yes.
Building a championship, a Super Bowl winning team is one thing, but to completely change the culture of an organization to the point where the people turn on you because you don't win every game.
Right.
You change expectations from, you know, 8-8, I'll take it, to... 8-8 is a fireable offense.
Right. Oh, God, right. When Hazard went 8-8, we went ape shit. All right, you know. Now, in 2013, you know, we had a playoff, you know, a playoff victory against Philadelphia, and that was Where before that, you know, before, man, we'd be jerking off in the streets for that shit. No, he's brought us to the mountaintop, and we want to go back, and we expect him to be able to
but
lead
we're
us
acting
back.
Like a bunch of yes. ungrateful yes. bastards.
But he will bring us back. I promise you. I really honestly believe that before Drew Brees is over with, we do get back there. Because, come on, this is the NFL. We know worst to first, and I don't think we are the worst by any stretch of the imagination. Worst to first is definitely doable every year.
Yes.
And we had a lot of change this year, folks, a lot of change. And we did a lot of stuff. We had dead money. We have $30 million worth of dead money.
Imagine when that cap stuff starts to
right.
fizzle well, out.
So, again, I don't know whose decision this was. Junior Gallet. That person should be spanked. You know.
With a belt.
Yes.
Oh, on the beach.
On the beach. Jimmy Graham. Jimmy Graham turned into a fucking asshole. Okay?
Who
during contract.
About him? Who tweeted about him last night about how he's more interested in his own stats than he is about team winning games?
Well, he was because, again, it came. And I'll transfer into this, too, real quick. Right, he was pissed a couple of weeks ago because he wasn't, you know, getting his yards and his bullshit and da, 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 da. And he got his feelings hurt during the things. And he was a problem in the locker room, so we had to get rid of him. And that cost us a lot of money this year. Also, last night, Jimmy Graham had something, I'm going to be close but not exact, I don't know, double-digit receptions
100.
And 150-plus yards or 144, 150-plus yards. Do you know why? Do you know who was – I watched the game last night.
Yeah.
Do you know who were covering him? Who was covering him?
Old gray-haired.
Oh, Roman Harper?
Roman Harper was covering him. So he beat the piss out of Roman Harper like a redheaded stepchild. I mean, Roman Harper couldn't cover him. That was Carolina's fault. You know, that was bad planning on their part.
Matchup, right.
Right, bad matchup. Roman Harper just got destroyed by Jimmy Graham.
I am surprised it took Seattle 6 weeks to realize they could do that.
Well, I think it's against Harper. Next week when I'm not sure who they play or whatever. That, again, he might not be
that. They play San Francisco on Thursday.
Okay. He might not be that open against San Francisco. Roman Harper is not what you call a cover.
Right.
Defensive back, ever. You know?
All right. So I'm going to move on to from here, though. Cause
One last thing I want to say about the game. It was a nice of Peyton to continue his annual tradition of stiffing the NFL Network for interviews after the game.
Thank you. Yes,
and of course, Rich Eisen tweets, "Oh, Saints fans, don't get mad at us. You know, we asked. They
trust
denied
me, Rich, we're not mad.
Right? Like we cheer that kind of thing. Right?
Right? Right? No, we're on the coach's side. And it was fun at the beginning of the game. Every game, if y'all attend, you know that one Saints player comes out to the center of the field before the game starts and leads a hoot at chant.
It's true.
Right, and this time it was Drew Brees. I don't know if they showed that on TV or if they, but this time it was Drew. That's always fun, you know. The crowd obviously gets so pumped up with Drew. And then, oh, wait a second, before we move on, the tweets.
No, that's going to save for looking at them tweets.
Okay, yeah. We're going to say, okay. Yeah, but so that was, it was just a great game. Man, it put the confidence in back in our step. It made everything, like you said, at the Thursday night game, I was down in McAllen, Texas. I drove to McAllen, Texas Monday night at 8 o'clock at night. It's a 12-hour drive. I arrived there at 8 o'clock the next morning.
Ooh.
Stayed up the entire day. Went to bed midnight, midnight on Tuesday. Got up at 8 o'clock on Wednesday. Had to do things down in McAllen. Had stuff to do. Left that night at 8 o'clock. Arrived home, drove all night long. Bad decision. arrived home at 8 o'clock that morning. Slept for about 4 hours because I had to. I tested the NFL officials that game.
Say on the show what you observed about the balls.
No, I don't want to say that.
Okay,
I just say. But, you know, tested, so we have to be at the dome early. And thank God we won. it made it, I felt, you know, even though I was working on a little sleep and through for, you know,
it woke you up, huh?
Man, I wasn't tired at all. I was just, I was screaming and hollering. My voice was sore the next day. So it really was. I mean, it's just incredible what a win, especially against Atlanta. I mean, to laugh at them, I mean, we have really dumped on their parade since 2008.
I mean, we just bought ourselves beautiful days all the way through the rest of the year. I mean, because we don't play them until January.
Well, that was the last thing. We played them the last game. So they're ignorant fans. If you're an Atlanta fan, you're about as dumb as you can be. Their question was, oh, well, what if we've already clinched a first-round bye. We've already clinched a first-round bye in that last game, so we rest everybody. And first of all, y'all not clinching the first-round bye. Carolina is Carolina, but they were already complaining about
what's
it.
What's their point of bringing that up? Like, they're already making an excuse of why they're going to lose that
game. Exactly, right. And we sweep them. And that's the thing. We sweep them. Like, that's a new concept. My God, you happened to sweep us last year in an unforgivably bad year for the Saints, okay? Before that, you haven't swept us in over 10 years. And
I think we just proved tonight that we don't need the special situation to beat you to this year either.
Yeah, the only special situation needs to be is that we play you. that we're all on the same field. You know? So.
All right, now I'm going to move on to headlines.
Hello, I'm Kent Brockman, and this is Eye on Springfield.
And I just got one quick headline, probably not a whole lot to cover, but basically Hocker was cut. Was that today? Monday?
Yes.
Saints signed former Redskin Kai Forbath. Which is, you know, the interesting note on this one is that it is our 10th kicker in 10 years since Sean Payton got here.
I mean, and again, Forbath is the guy that Hopkins beat out in Washington. They dumped Forbath to sign Hopkins. Again, it goes back to, you know, like during the whole time of training camp, oh, Hopkins clearly looks like the better kicker. Clearly looks like the better kicker. You know, misses a field goal in preseason game, and then we keep Hocker, and everybody's like, huh? Now, I'm sure all of us were just pick one guy and go with it and hope he pans out. But being Sean Payton, of course, our kicker decision doesn't work out. That's just...
All right, so now let's move into our next topic. Look at him tweets. All right, so we're going to open look. There was a lot of tweets going with the game. I was going nuts with all the all of the Dome Patrol podcast listeners. I was waiting for you. It was a fun game to be tweeting. But there's a particular tweet that by now, again, everybody's heard about it, but let's talk about our feelings on it. So Steve Gleason, after the punt, ended up tweeting, "Hey Falcons, hashtag never punt." Okay. And then some douchebag named at Ben Tennant, BENTENNANT.
Anybody who tweets, feel free to tweet Ben and tell him he's an asshole.
Right. That's why I gave his spelling of his Twitter account. Retweeted back to Steve saying, "At least we don't need a machine to tweet."
Oh, shit.
Is this the first you're hearing of this?
I knew, well...
Have you heard about this?
Well, because look, I turn off my phone during the game.
Yeah, so but then, it's been all over.
Well, right. Well, I knew something went on with this guy, but I didn't know exactly what was said. That's the first time I'm hearing actually what he said.
He said, at least we don't need a machine to tweet.
Right.
And Saints fans immediately piled on the guy, right?
Of course, as they should have.
Right. And... Steve, though, didn't need us.
Exactly.
Steve Gleason comes back at him with, "What do you call your phone? Say it with me, ... hashtag machine."
That's funny.
And of course, that didn't stop Saints fans from continuing to pile on, to the point to where the kid ended up turning his profile private, like a little bitch. He went into hiding. You know, don't put it out there if you can't deal with the response.
Right. I'm sure he's a piece of shit Falcons fan.
Well, he's wearing his profile picture has him wearing like a Alabama hat too, so that makes it
of course. Well, fucking Gump.
That's funny.
And then later, Gleason did tweet to the Who Dat Nation, "Let's leave at Ben Tennant alone and watch this game."
Yeah, I think I saw that. I saw that tweet, so I knew it. I knew something went down. Just didn't know.
Yeah. So even Steve was like, "Lay off the kid."
Wow, that's pretty good.
Yeah, class act. I gotta laugh though, because like I went and looked while it was happening. I went and like checked out the kid's profile just to kind of see. I tweeted from the Dome Patrol podcast Twitter account at him as well. That was like, "Don't get in a battle of the wits with Steve Gleason when you're only half prepared." There was a lot of people that were just really verbally abusing and assaulting the kid, which he clearly deserved.
You know, it's so easy for people to just type and hit send behind.
The internet has really, you know, there's some great things that's happened with the internet. You know, pornography. And then there's some really bad thing. I'm just joking.
No, you're not.
Kind of. But nobody with the pornography. The internet has so desensitized us to one another as a group of people. Like you said, you know, it's just it's really a shame.
Hey, look, it forced Playboy to stop posting naked pictures of women.
I mean, that is insane. That's like the NFL, you know, stop using footballs. But it is a shame that someone like, you know, never say, do, or type on the internet something that you wouldn't do face to face to somebody. You know, I mean, that's just common sense.
All right, so let me read a couple of tweets from our the Who Dat Nation here from Life of Ty. "I'm ready for Browner to go back to Seattle too. # worst Saint ever." That was tweeted early in the game.
He did recover a fumble, but he did give up a pass on fourth down later in the game. Look, he's just to me, he needs to just guard tight ends. Don't even bother sticking him on a receiver because he ain't covering them.
Yeah, well, and that might be the case once we get Keenan
find
back.
A way to use him correctly.
And again, we get Keenan Lewis back, we can put him back at nickel. But until then, this is what we're stuck with.
Kind of stuck, yeah.
All right, some more tweets from the game. Neil comes in with, "They're all shitting their pants."
This is true.
Oh, Falcons.
So a few Twitter followers all agreed that I should not purchase a Snead jersey.
Thank you. Did you even need to bring that up?
I'm sorry. Was there some kind of rumor you were going to? Because
I tweeted out there.
He started the rumor himself.
I said, in order to protect him, I will resist the urge to buy a Snead jersey. We got a big response from that one.
Yeah.
Lay off him. Stay away from the Snead.
Yes, I will.
Again, all you need to do is go in and buy, you know, alumni players.
That's a smart way to go about it.
Right. You know, go get you a Deuce jersey. Even though I saw Deuce, we talked to Deuce Sunday.
Yeah.
And said, you know, but I don't want, maybe he might fall and break a leg if you got his jersey. You know, he might just trip. Some kind of terrible accident might befall the man.
Right.
Why don't you go get a Sam Mills jersey?
I'm going to go. Yeah. Oh, too soon.
He's already dead. What?
I know.
That's what I'm saying. He's a great player that needs to be immortalized with fans, and nothing bad can happen to him.
Right.
No, something will come out, like his reputation will get tarnished. Like some story will get leaked. Sam Mills raped people with Phil Cosby. All right. Too far? No. Okay, so next tweet comes from Zeno 53. "So how excited are we about the Saints since all of a sudden we aren't poo-poo? # turning point?"
I mean, I wouldn't go that far, especially with Pete now being out for 4 weeks. You know, the line's still very shaky. It's nice to get a win against the Falcons, but we're still likely not a playoff team.
Right. No, we're not a playoff team. We're going to have more games like the Philadelphia game, you know, unfortunately. There's going to be weeks where we just look like trash.
Although, I mean, the schedule doesn't look really that daunting.
Well,
but
no, I mean, look, we get the Giants, the Skins.
You still get Tennessee. You get Jacksonville. You get Houston. There are winnable games.
Definitely. Well, I hate to say this, but let's see if we can get a win on the road this year.
All right, and then the last tweet I'll bring up, another one from Neo, but this one's just from Twitter all over the place, and it's also another inception of topics. It's
Have you seen this? Have you heard about this?
Within Look At Him tweet, and the tweet is about Who Dat Cat.
Have you heard about this? Have you seen this?
Yes, I have.
I saw it, heard about it. Couldn't give two rat's asses about Who Dat Cat or Who Cat or whatever.
Well, but can I ask? Here's the one thing that I and I even
that cat I like.
What is this? I know what a service dog is. You know, what is a service cat?
It's probably for anxiety.
It's for fucking.
Oh, that's terrible.
Well, you know what kind of joke I tried. It didn't. The joke didn't.
No, as usual, your joke's bombed.
Lawnmower.
Right. There you go.
Yeah, well, that was my whole thing, was like, how the hell did this thing get past security?
Right. Well, if it's a service cat, you have to be allowed to bring it in.
Right.
I mean, can I get the same thing for my little dog? And I can bring her?
If it's a service dog.
I mean, oh, yes.
But would you want to deal with that?
I mean, I probably wouldn't.
You wouldn't want to hold your dog like Dr. Evil at a Saints game.
No, probably not.
But what I like about this cat is the cat is black and gold.
That was pretty cool. The cat being black and gold was pretty cool.
And you know, it's fun. It's just something fun. All right, that's going to bring us to our next segment. A real.
Have you seen this? Have you heard about this?
Drew Brees is only two games away from catching Peyton Manning, tying him for an NFL record. Do you know what record that is?
Is game? It 300-yard games?
Yes. Brees currently stands at 90. Peyton has 92.
And the way Peyton's going this season, Peyton may not add to that total at all.
And Brees will surpass him.
Peyton looks really old and shaky right now.
He does.
Winning by the power of his defense, man.
He looks like the old man child molester from Family Guy. I'm going to play
it. I just got a little dude alarm over here.
All right, let's move on to...
Well, hold on. Well, speaking of records, one more record. Did you see that we tied the record for in second place for most games with a touchdown?
Did I know that?
Most games in a row or most...
Oh, yes, most games in a row.
Is that Drew Brees' passing touchdown record or just most games for offensive touchdown?
Most games for a team scoring a touchdown. About a defense... Running it in, throwing it in, whatever.
Really?
Tied with the, and my years might be a little off here, tied with like 2003 to 2012 San Diego Chargers.
Go fuck yourself, San Diego.
But the team that has the record number one.
Patriots.
No. I want to say, I'm going to mess this up. I could look it up, but I'm too lazy. It's an older team. I want to say like either the Raiders or the Browns, something like from 1963 to 1969, somewhere like that. And that's it's almost 16 games more. It's 66, and I think we're at 50. Again, these numbers don't hold me to them. But we could possibly, if we have another 2 years of this, we could hold that record too. And, you know, fans, especially you younger fans, this might be silly with us talking about records of Drew Brees and most touchdowns and 300 yards and blah, 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 all this stuff. But you have to realize, as Saints fans growing up before the Sean Payton era, we had one record.
We had
one record.
Goal.
Thank you very much.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Tom Dempsey's longest field goal record, you know, 63
yards. How many we had a few records where we allowed people to do things?
Well, right, we had the record. We did have the record, and I think we might still have it, of the biggest comeback, you know, having the biggest lead and losing it. And we did that. We did that to either Oakland or San Francisco in the 80s on Monday Night Football. Right, the Saints never had any good record. They were all, you know, all bad. And again, the only good record we had was Tom Dempsey's field goal of 63 yards. So that's why all these Peyton records and Drew records, for old time Saints fans, they are so positive. It's something that I am happy about because everything is a negative.
Like the rest, your failure is my success. It's all about control. Will you make it? I will deliver the blow.
Damon, you and I both went 2-3 last week.
Ooh.
However, that was much better than Jeff. Ooh. With a big Ofer.
Oh my God, are you shitting me?
Yeah, I laid a goose egg this week.
0-5. Well, all three of us lost the Arizona-Pittsburgh game, Carolina-Seattle game, and San Diego-Green Bay game.
I'll never pick Buffalo again.
Plus, yep. You underestimated the power of Miami and a new coach. I mean, they destroyed Tennessee.
Yeah,
You know what? We did not take that.
They did the Statue of Liberty play, too.
We did not take that into account. I did think of that after I saw the highlights of the game. New coach, you play a little extra hard for him. But Buffalo, I think, is a better team. Anyway, I'm sorry. Go on.
All right. In the expanded version, we got Hungry Hudat takes the clear lead over everybody with a 19-11 record. Coming in second place is Wheels at 18-12. And then we've got Dad to Twins, Alex, Barbie, and Damon at 17-13. Me and Glenn at 16-14. Then Jason. So even with me going 0-5, Jason, you still couldn't catch us. 13-17.
Wait, what? You
mean Jason's still 13-17.
Yeah.
What do you mean he's still going to catch you?
He's still four games behind. And we got a new player, Mr. Cezapo, who's 2-3.
First game, the New York Jets coming off a win last week at the New England Patriots coming off, of course, a win against Indy this week. This game is in New England, and they're favored by 9.
Patriots.
I'm going to go the Jets here.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Jets.
All right, our next game is our next London game, which I believe Neil will be going to. He gets to see Buffalo Bills at the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I love it.
It's technically a home game. Technically a home game for Jacksonville. Their owner's from the UK, I believe. Jacksonville's getting 4 points.
4 points.
4 points. Well, fuck you, Buffalo.
You just said you would never pick them again.
You just said you would never take Buffalo.
But I'm taking them. No, I'm not. I'm taking Jacksonville. Fuck it. Jacksonville wins at home. And this is a home game for them.
No, this is a tough. I don't know.
And the London Jaguars.
And I don't know. I don't know if Tyrod Taylor's playing either.
Oh, you know what? No, I can't do it. I got to take Buffalo in this one.
Okay. I'll go with the Jags.
Wait, the Jaguars are getting 4?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you said Buffalo was getting 4.
Nope.
Oh, then, yeah, stick with the Jags.
Which is it? Spits the Swallows.
Yeah, I
Jaguars.
I like that. I'll go with the Jaguars.
All right, our next game, Battle of the AFC West, the Oakland Raiders at the San Diego Chargers. Oakland coming off a bye. San Diego coming off a close loss at Green Bay. Phillip Rivers threw for 500 yards. This game is in San Diego, and the Chargers are favored by 4.
This is a tough one because both of these teams are middling. I guess I'm going to go with San Diego since they're home. I have no other insight into this game.
I've not been following Oakland this year. I have no idea what Oakland's record is. So
they're 2-3.
And so San Diego's 2-4, so.
Yeah. I'll do that. I like that. I'll take San Diego.
Give me the Raiders. Got to make up some ground somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
All right, our next game, the Houston Texans at the Miami Dolphins.
Houston
coming off a win against Jacksonville. Miami coming off a crushing win against Tennessee. This game is in Miami, and the Dolphins are favored by 4.5. I'll go first. I'll take the Dolphins.
Yeah, I'm with you. They convinced me last week that they have a coach who can motivate them with the talent that they have. Houston has been underwhelming this year. So, but is J.J. Watt back?
I don't know.
Oh, I didn't know he got hurt.
He had an illness. It wasn't an injury. It was an illness.
I think he might be hurt. You know what? I'm going to go with Houston on this one.
I'm going to take the Dolphins minus 4.5. Or 4, whatever.
Crazy. I just took Houston. 4. But no, I'm taking the 5 points, so all right.
All right, and now our shitty game of the week.
Here we go! I got a piece of shit car. That fucking pile of shit. A
never gets me very far. My car's a big
shitty. Let me guess what you picked as a shitty game of the week.
Okay.
Tampa Bay and Washington.
You got it, sir. Tampa Bay at Washington. Tampa Bay coming off a bye this week. Washington coming off a loss. Kirk Cousins just keeps throwing picks. This game is in Washington, and the Redskins are favored by 3.5.
I will take the you're Kirk Cousins. Washington has no fucking quarterback to save their life.
No.
You know, it's bad enough in Washington, the local media is calling the quarterback Colt McCoy to start.
Yeah, that's kind of like all you need.
Instead of Cousins, right.
Yeah.
They want Colt McCoy to start instead of, you know, Tampa's coming off a bye. So hopefully Jameis Winston, you know, watched a little tape and avoided any bonehead interception this week. And I'll take Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I'm with you. At least the points, you know. This is gonna be
like the point.
It's gonna be a close game of two shitty teams. I'm taking the points.
Henceforth, the name shitty game of the week.
Jason,
I was gonna pick Tampa Bay, and then both of y'all picked them, and I'm.
Well, go with you got. I mean, pick. This is pick 'em.
I'm gonna go with this. I'm gonna go with the Redskins.
No money on the line.
I'm going with the Redskins.
Yeah. Okay, we're gonna move on to our next segment, Saints preview. Feel about this one?
I'm scared Luck's gonna throw all over us. I don't think Indy can really run the ball that well, but I mean, Luck's now, I know he's still coming off his shoulder injury, so he might not be 100%, but he's still healthy enough. I mean, they put up 20 something points on the pads last night.
Yeah, they looked fine last. His arm looked fine against New England last night.
I mean, their defense isn't good, so we should be able to put some points on the board, but right. I'm just worried that we're gonna have to outscore them.
Correct. I believe it's going to be a shootout, and even in that world of a shootout with them, we're lacking because our defense is the worst in the NFL. And Andrew Luck, even
especially if Lewis is hobbled,
right. So yes, it looks like right. It's going to be an offensive showdown. Now, look, I'd love if maybe they do, you know, some more trick plays next week.
Peyton was a little ballsy going for it on a
I'm talking about Indianapolis.
Oh, okay. Oh, seriously, what the fuck was that?
I don't know.
I mean,
for those who didn't see the game, maybe are fans in Europe, they were going to punt, and Indianapolis went into some formation where they sent everybody to one side of the field with a center and I think a wide receiver behind him, just alone by themselves in the center of the field with no other guards around him, and there were five Patriots players standing in front of them. They snapped the ball, the wide receiver was immediately sacked, and they turned the ball over deep in their red zone. So
it is literally one of the worst plays you will ever see.
I don't know. But man,
kind of seems like that's a little dead coach walking situation going
on
up there.
Yeah, yeah. Look, if you look at the two teams, we have the better quarterback, even though I'm a big fan of Andrew Luck, and we have the better coach. We have no defense. And again, a couple of weeks ago, and I'm pretty sure I don't know if we talked about this on the show, but I know I definitely sent this to you and Jeff about Andrew Luck's record in the NFL. Andrew Luck is 16-2 against the AFC South and 17-15 against the rest of the NFL.
There's a reason he's so great against his division, because
Jacksonville
and
Houston and Tennessee, who have not, those, you know, those three teams have not been doing really.
When he plays the rest of the NFL, which contain actual football teams,
right,
he's average. Their defense comes in 29th ranked. We're 32nd. We're the worst defense in the NFL.
Right.
But our offense is number 7, even amidst all our struggles.
Look,
so yeah, we're gonna have to, and we need score early. Don't, you know, would the first time the first
and often
the first time you get the ball, you know, go down and score. I don't want no three and out punt on the first possession that we have in the game.
Look, I think the whole secret for the New Orleans Saints from here on out is just take care of the football. Don't give up any easy points. And my God, try to live with this horrible offensive line that we have until we can get some guys back.
Now, maybe Armstead will be back next Sunday. I'd like to think so. You know, he got extra time to heal this week, didn't play Thursday.
What do you think the likelihood is of us getting a pass rush again like we did against Atlanta?
Well, you know, I don't think Indianapolis' offensive line is that great. So, and we're playing on turf. That's so, hey, maybe we do get a little bit of a pass rush.
Complimentary football, right?
Yeah. Yep. Like, again, yeah, don't turn the ball over again. How about that? You know?
Defense can maybe pick up one or two for a short field.
Try to do well on limiting penalties again. Just put, you know, play a smart game.
I think we can. What is the spread on this? 5?
In their favor?
Yeah.
It's definitely going to be in their favor.
Yeah, I think they're a 5-point favorite.
Boy, crikey.
Just, you know, hopefully the coaching staff comes up with a good game plan. Just, you know, find a way to contain Luck and don't let him go nuts, because otherwise it could be a long, long day.
This could be one of those away games. Follow up this Falcons game with a win. What do you think the score is going to be there, Jason?
I'm going to go 31-27, Saints.
I will go 35-28, the Saints.
35-21, Saints. All right, that is all the show we have for you. I'm going to forego final thoughts because of the length of the show that we have here. We will return next week with some Pelican Plunge because the regular season will almost have started, right?
Yeah, start Tuesday night of next week.
There you go. So we'll come back with some Pelican Plunge next week, but we're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and for telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. Like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast. And if you don't listen to us on iTunes, Android, or Google Play, there's the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, DomePatrolPodcast.com. Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, Falcon, not donkeys.
Good night, Who Dat Nation.
You're our bitch.com. FBIO.
The ghost bird in the sky. Their brands were still on fire and their hooves were made of steel. Their horns were black and shiny and their hot breath he could feel. A bolt of fear went through him as they thundered through the sky. For he saw the riders coming hard, and he heard their mournful cry. Yippee-yi-yay, yippee-yi-oh. Ghost riders in the sky. Faces gaunt, their eyes were blurred, and shirts all soaked with sweat. They're riding hard to catch that bird, but they ain't caught him yet. Cause they got to ride forever in that range up in the sky. On horses snorting fire, as they ride on, hear their cry. Yippee-yi-yay, yippee-yi-yo. Ghost riders in the sky. As the riders loped on by him, he heard one call his name. If you want to save your soul from hell, a riding on our range, then cowboy, change your ways today, or with us you will ride. I'm trying to catch the devil's herd across these endless skies.
Yippee-yi-yay.